I was just thinking, it's a blessing to be in a service where that you worship the Lord. Amen? And it's a joy. We are thankful for all the service this morning, for the singing, the teaching of the Word, and this message. And thankful for the Sunday school lesson. And I rejoiced, as I said, I rejoiced in the singing. Because you folks sing like you mean it. Amen? And I enjoy that. Appreciate people that really worship the Lord. And so we're just thankful to have had the privilege to be here. Appreciate the invitation to come. And it's good to be back again at Independence Baptist Church. And we'll have more to say about that this afternoon. But we want to look here in the Word of God now at this time. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Luke. And we want to begin reading with verse number 25. Luke chapter 14 and verse number 25. And this is an area where Jesus Christ is testing His disciples. And verse 25, And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come to Me, and hate not his father and mother, wife and children, and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be not My disciple. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here today. Thank You, Lord, for this church and for the invitation we have to come here and preach the Word of God. And thank You for this service already today. Now we ask You, dear Lord, that You'll help us and use us so we might be what You'd have us to be. Illuminate our mind, dear Lord, and fill us with Thy Holy Spirit that we might be able to rightly divide Thy Word of truth. God, we just pray that You would speak to hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray, and for His sake, amen. Now, from these verses we read to you tonight today, we want to talk to you on this subject, and that is counting the cost. Now, the other night we talked about the word count. It means to evaluate. So we want to evaluate the cost today. And you know, anything we go to do today costs. Someone said, well, it's free. Well, for example, salvation is free. I tell you one thing, it costs a whole lot. We're going to talk about that just in a few moments. Anything costs. When we build, it costs. Some of you folks here are looking at building and buying, and it costs. And so before we get started, we will sit down and consider the cost. Sit down and figure it out. What can we do? What do we need to do? What's the best to do? Understand what we're getting into. Know what it will really cost. And so when we're serving God faithfully, I want you to get that. When we serve God faithfully, it's going to cost. But it's wonderful, like I said a while ago. And other times, it's a blessing. It's a joy to serve the Lord. But it will cost. Now, as we first of all, we want to mention the fact that, and look at this thought, that the cost of redemption. And I noticed today in the song service, we sang that song, My Redeemer. I'm thankful for that. You know, the Bible talks about our Redeemer. The Bible talks about the Redeemer. But I'm thankful that Jesus is my Redeemer. And so we want to I think now for first of all about the cost of our redemption. It's free. Thank God for that. I'm grateful we have a message. It's free. All you got to do is accept it, receive it, whatever term you want to use. But anyway, we're thankful that it's free. But there's a great cost for our redemption. And so we understand that. We know, we go back into the Old Testament, we see all the prophecies. We've talked already in different nights about all of the lamb typology, going all the way back to Genesis, there with Adam and Eve, after they sinned and God killed the animal and clothed them. We have we have Abel's offering. God gave Abel the instructions, and everyone, the instructions of giving a bloody sacrifice. Abel offered a bloody sacrifice. God accepted it. His own brother, Cain, offered the fruit of the ground. And I'm sure he brought the best fruits that he had, but it was unacceptable. And God rejected it. And of course, it brought anger and it brought jealousy. And so Cain rose up and killed his brother. But anyway, all through the Old Testament, we have the lamb typology. There in Genesis 24, we have Abraham offering Isaac. And what a tremendous blessing and what a joy. God was with them. And Isaac said, Father, here is the knife, the wood, the fire, but where's the lamb? And God said to his son, or Abraham said to his son, God will provide an offering. What a blessing. And then we come on over into Exodus 13. And there we see the Passover lamb and all of these typologies coming over then into Isaiah 53, which we'll get to just in a few moments. But we're talking about the prophecies of the Redeemer. And then when, you know, Isaiah prophesied of the fact that our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, would be born of a virgin. And the Bible is very outstanding, you see. And we rejoice in that fact. And so then we also know that as we think about that prophecy, look with us there now. Let's go back to Isaiah. We're going to be using some passages there. And it's good to start off now even at this time. Isaiah 7 and verse number 14. You know what it says? Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Then you go over into Luke chapter 1 and you see the prophecy fulfilled. Listen, I want you to know everything that's prophesied in the Old Testament, it must come to pass. Just like the Old Testament said, it must come to pass in the New Testament. And it did. And you know the story there in Luke chapter 1, how that the angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph and to Mary. You're familiar with this, but I want you to notice here, you see, in this conversation, we come down as the angel was talking to them, and we find, you see, Mary said in verse number 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be? In other words, in our terminology, how in the world could that happen? Listen, she said, seeing I know not a man, angel of the Lord, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee. We're talking about my Redeemer. Thank God for these prophecies. Isaiah said it would be, the child would be born of a virgin, and I'm grateful for that. And so you see, angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Then we go back into the Old Testament again, in the book of Micah. There we see the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ once again. And in Micah chapter number 5 and verse number 2, and thou Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel. Now notice here, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Then we come over into the Luke again, this time in chapter number 2, and we see this great fact. And no, notice now, you see, it was for years that there were some things there that I had never noticed before. Keep in mind that Micah said that baby was going to have to be born in Bethlehem, Judah. And you come over into Luke chapter 2. Where do you find Joseph and Mary? You find them down in Galilee. And my friends, that baby couldn't be born in Galilee. That baby had to be born in Bethlehem. And God caused tax to be levied. And you know the story. And so Joseph and Mary had to go down into Bethlehem down to pay their taxes. And while they were there, glory to God, the baby was born in the place that God said the child would be born. And you say, well, that wasn't much, but I'll tell you one thing, it's a whole lot, because that was about 100 miles distance. And today it's no problem to get into our nice cars, vans, SUVs, whatever you want to call them, and drive 100 miles and an expectant mother is no problem. But I'll tell you one thing, in the Bible days, it's a different story. How would you like to have to ride a camel or a donkey for 100 miles before your baby is born? But anyway, the point is, God got them down there, amen. And I mean, how He got them there is interesting. He didn't tell us about that. He just said they went. Why? Because the baby must be born in Bethlehem, Judah. And because that's what the Old Testament said. I tell you, the longer I study God's Word, the more it means to me. It's real. When God said it in the Old Testament, it had to be just like it in the New Testament. It's, as I said before, salvation, you know, is the same in the Old Testament as it is in the New Testament. Same salvation that Abraham received is the same thing that I received. The Bible said he believed. He believed God, and what a blessing. So was with us. All right, we're talking about this prophecy, the prophecy of my Redeemer. Yes, what a blessing, what a joy. And so, you know, the Bible tells us that it costs Jesus, our Redeemer, cost something. First of all, it cost God His Son. You know what He said in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 8, verse number 32, He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. I thank God for that. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Then we come on over into 1 John chapter number 4 and verse number 10. Once again, we hear about the same thing that John said in John 3:16. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. We preached that the other night about the propitiatory sacrifice. Thank God today we're talking about my Redeemer. I'm talking about the cost of our redemption. It cost God His Son. It cost Jesus His life. My friend, Jesus laid down His life for us. And what a blessing. Yes, what a joy. We go here in the book of Matthew, chapter number 20, and notice here in verse number 28, as Matthew speaks to us about this very subject. Jesus, here, pardon me, Matthew 20 and verse number 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. I'm so thankful for the fact that Jesus gave His life for our sin. They didn't take it away. He gave it. And I rejoice in this fact. We see that in John chapter number 10. Notice there, as Jesus speaks to us, John chapter 10, looking here in verse number 15. Notice, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. It's already been talked about this morning. They're one. Thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, you can't know Jesus without knowing God. And you can't know God without knowing Jesus. I tell you, it's a joy. So Jesus said here, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And the sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Look, verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm talking about what it cost for our redemption. It cost God to give His Son. It cost Jesus to give His life. And He laid it down willingly for us. You know, Paul says in Philippians 2, verses 5 through 8, that Jesus became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, we talked about the cross all week. Thank God for the fact that Jesus gave His life on the cross. That the cross was talking about, it's not the wooden structure, but the cross, my friend, is the body of Jesus and outstretched in His body hanging down. Oh, listen, it was on that cross there because of what He did for us. He became our Redeemer. He gave His law. Now, I want you to know, my friends, the wooden structure has no significance, but that wooden structure is only the altar where God slew His lamb. I tell you, it's a joy and a blessing, and we thank God for it. Yes, as we think about Jesus' suffering, we're talking about how the counting the cost of salvation. It's free today, but oh, what it cost Jesus. I'm telling you, we see Him even, as we heard this morning in our Sunday school lesson, how that Jesus was misunderstood and how that He was abused. We see Him then as He, you know, as an angry mob comes out to get Him, and He didn't get excited. He just asked them the question, "Whom seek ye?" They said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And they fell to the ground. But you know that we've already heard about that. And they came back a second time. Listen, my friend, Jesus gave Himself. He didn't try to get out of dying. We see Him in the garden, there in the Garden of Gethsemane. He, my friend, figuratively He died in the garden. There, you see, mentally He died. And the Bible said He sweat as it were great drops of blood. My friend, Jesus suffered. We're talking about the cost of redemption. Yes, He willingly gave Himself. And He said, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He wasn't trying to get out of dying. He wasn't trying to run out on us. He was proving there's no other way that men, women, boys, and girls be saved except that He die. He must die. He must give His life on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what a blessing. What a joy. Yes, and so we're talking about what it cost Him. You see, we realize, my friend, as He left the garden, He was misunderstood. As He left the garden, He was falsely accused. Oh, yes. And Jesus, you know, they took Him and they beat His body. They took His robe from Him and they stripped Him and they whipped Him with the Roman lash. We're told that it's a cat of nine tails. And as those nine tails being woven full of sharp objects such as metal, glass, anything that would cut. And as they yielded that whip down His back, it sliced His skin. Think about it. The first 10 licks sliced His skin, my friend, in a terrible sense. Then the second 10 cut down into the muscles. And then the third 10 cut down into the tendons and the ligaments of His body. There we see Him hanging. We're talking about the cross of Jesus. According to Isaiah 52, the Bible said that His vicious was marred more than any man. Oh, that's what we need to see. We don't need to see the picture that looks like a dignified sissy. I want you to know, I believe that's what the Antichrist will look like. But I want you to know Jesus. If you looked upon Him, my friend, you would fall on your face because of that terrible sense that He suffered, that terrible suffering that He went through. Yes, and so you see, these are outstanding truths. Jesus never once backed out. Jesus never once, you see, gave any resistance. We go over here in Isaiah 53 again. You know, I love Isaiah 53 because, you see, there this was written about 700 years before Jesus Christ was born. But you won't find a chapter in the Bible anywhere. Even though it was written 700 years, about 700 years before Jesus Christ was born, you'll not find any chapter in the Bible that magnifies Jesus any greater. In those 12 verses, you see Jesus 50 times in the word He, Him, or His. Yes. Also notice here in verse 7, we'll come back to this chapter again, but here, verse 7, He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Notice, yet He opened not His mouth. I mean, that's prophets. What's going to happen? If you study the Scriptures, you'll find numbers of times, about 8 times that he was accused. And the Bible said, it would say, He opened not His mouth, or He said not a word, or He answered nothing. My friend, He didn't try to defend Himself. He was giving Himself for us. I'm talking about the price of our redemption. Thank God today. We have so much to be thankful for. I'm so grateful, you see, to be able to rejoice because of what He has done for us. All right. So He goes on to say, He said He was oppressed and He was afflicted, yet He opened not His mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. There's that lamb typology again. All throughout the Old Testament we have the lamb typology. And we come over into John chapter 1. John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." I want you to know, John said, "Hey, look at Him. Glory to God. Look at Him. He is our Redeemer. He was the one. He's the Lamb of God." Oh yes, what a blessing. All those Old Testament, experiences and all those truths, you see, it was just pointing toward the real Christ. Though every drop of blood that fell from the Jewish altar was pointing towards Jesus. Yes, the Lamb of God, every lamb they offered, every animal they offered, was pointing towards Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Oh, listen, I'm saying today that we're talking about the cost of redemption. It cost a terrible price. Yes, oh, now then. So yeah, they took Jesus, and then the Bible tells us there in Matthew 27, you know the story, how they made a crown, but it wasn't a crown of honor. It wasn't a crown of glory. It was a crown of curse. They took those thorns, and they wove them into a circle, made a crown, and they placed it upon His head. Not lightly, not with respect, but with disrespect, hatred. Oh, listen. And they pushed that down on His brow. And those thorns went down between His skull and His skin. Now I want you to know a thorn hurts. So I'll give you an example. When I was pastoring in Humboldt, Tennessee, that's the church that called me out of Kentucky. I'm a Kentucky man, born in Kentucky, raised in Kentucky, pastored three churches in Kentucky. But I was called to Tennessee in 1971, been there ever since, and I'm thankful for that. I don't have any problem. You see, listen, it's just a matter of being in the will of God, amen. I've learned to be, as Paul said, to be content in whatever state I'm in. He wasn't talking about Kentucky and Mississippi. But that's a blessing to be wherever God wants us to be, amen. All right. So you see, it's a joy and a blessing. All right. And so, as we think about this, we have an outstanding, glorious truth. Yes. And so, we find that the crown was made out of thorns. And they pressed it upon His brow. But anyways, I was working there in Humboldt. We were getting ready for a revival, and we were cutting weeds. And I went between church, back of the church and the building behind it, which was just close together. And I found a thorn bush, and I pulled a dumb stunt. I was going to try to pull the thing up. And when I did, you know, it slipped, and one of those big thorns went right into my, I believe it was in my middle finger, but went right in the joint. But anyway, the point is, I'm trying to tell you how one thorn hurts. And that night, I didn't get any sleep. Because every time my heart beat, I hurt from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head. I mean, that gave me a fit. One thorn. I'm just trying to show you today, my friends, that thorns are painful. And they had a whole crown around Him. And I know that, but as they hung on the cross, they took the reed and they hit Him on the head and drove those thorns. I'm talking about the cost of our redemption. Jesus paid it all. All Him we owe. Sin is not the crimson stain, but Jesus washed it white as snow. Glory to God. That make a Baptist shout. Listen, we were shouting a long time before that charismatic bunch ever got started. We ought to wake up. We ought to get excited about serving God because we've got the truth. We're saved and know it. Amen. They don't know that. They don't know whether they're going to heaven or not because they got to hold out faith and endure and then hang on. We don't have to do that. We just trust God. God does the saving. God does the keeping. Glory to God. And God does the taking us home. I tell you, I like what I believe. I like the Word of God. Amen. What a blessing. What a joy. All right. So you're talking about His suffering, you see. And then they took Him and they drove the nails in His hands. And in His feet. That just blows my mind. And then they took that cross and put it up in the hole. And as it went down and thudded to the ground, it tore those nails in his hands and those nails in it, nailed in his feet. Listen, folks, I want you to know He did it for you. He did it for me. We're talking about the cost of our redemption. Oh, how sad to think about hanging there. And all this time, His body was being pulled. And His body would sag. And then He would try to bring His diaphragm inside of Him. But anyway, all this, I'm not going to give you a scientific lesson. I'm just trying to tell you that He suffered. He suffered. As I said before, He suffered 3 hours under the hands of man. He suffered 3 hours under the hand of God. Oh, listen, Jesus paid it all. He suffered for our sin. He did it willingly. Yes. And so, as He hung there in that terrible shape, hurting and painful, yes, He endured the pain. He endured the shame because He did it because He loved us. Amen. Oh, His love. There's no way to be able to understand the love of God. And then as He hung there, the Roman soldier came and with a spear He pierced His side. I mean, He struck Him like we used to stick a hog. Now I'm preaching deep again, but used to have hog killings. And I mean, I never did that, but I know some men that did, and they were good at it. Take a long butcher knife and go in there, and I mean, they first of all knock him in the head with a sledgehammer, take that knife, and go in and get his heart. Amen. I mean, because why? They wanted him to bleed. That's what that man intended. He was after his heart. He went up in his side with that spear. He hated him. And He wanted to destroy him. Oh, listen, my friend, I want you to know Jesus suffered. We're talking about the cost of our redemption. Yes, and thank God He did it on His own will. Jesus gave Himself for us. Oh, yes. And so we rejoice in these truths. Now then, look what He's saying here in Isaiah 53. You see, Jesus died for our sins. Look what He's saying in Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not. Then He said in verse 4, surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. Verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. Notice that. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we're healed. Thank God today, we're talking about the price of redemption. Cost of redemption. Yes, it's free, but it cost a whole lot. It cost. Now then, we come to another thought. And that is the cost of being a disciple of Christ. Notice this. Going back to our text again here in Luke chapter number 14. The cost of being a disciple of Christ. You know, we're not our own. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, we're not our own. We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. These bodies are the Lord's. These bodies are the temple of God. And we need to be careful what we do with it. It's God's temple. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. You know, it's a joy. He lives in our heart. Yes, He lives. He lives. Like a little boy, you know, that was flying the kite. And the man came by and said, son, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. He said, how do you know? You can't see it. He said, no, sir, I don't see it, but I feel it tugging. That's the way the Spirit of God is. We don't see it. But thank God we feel it. We know it's real. He lives. Thank God. He lives. All right. And so we just simply praise God from whom all blessings flow. So as we look here in our text, you see, we find that God loves us. And because He first loved us, then we love Him. We didn't love Him until He did a work in our heart. We have nothing in us to make us love Him. You know, the song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I didn't bring anything. I didn't have anything to offer. God wouldn't accept me. He wouldn't accept me and my works any more than He accepted Cain. So I thank God for Jesus. He made the plan of salvation. We're talking about, you see, the cost of today. We've talked about the cost of our redemption. Now we talk about the cost of being a disciple of Christ. We heard that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Very wonderful lesson, greatly brought. All right. So you see, Jesus tells us we must love these things. In other words, He said we must hate. If you look there in verse number 26, He was speaking to a multitude. You notice that in verse 25. He said a great multitude. That's a lot of people. Big bunch of people. I'd like to preach to a great multitude sometime. I don't intend to compromise to do it, but I'd like to preach to it. But anyway, I enjoy preaching to you. I enjoy preaching to our folks at home. But anyway, you see, there was a great multitude there. And He turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, brethren and sister, and yea, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, what he's saying is, if we don't love them less than we do him. Same thing Judas was saying to Peter about the fish. That was his occupation. Judas said to Peter there in John 21, Simon, lovest thou me more than these? In other words, Simon, do you love me more than you do your fishing? Now, we like to fish. I'm not a fisherman, but I like to fish. But anyway, Simon, he was a fisherman by trade. He knew what he was doing. But he didn't argue with Jesus because you remember the night out there they had been fishing all night and hadn't caught anything. Jesus said, put your net on the other side. He thought to himself, what difference does that make? The difference is God said, do it. Amen? Glory to God. God just said, do it. And he just flipped it over on the other side. And I mean, when she went down, it probably went to the very same place. But the point was that he did what Jesus said do. And Jesus gave him so many fish, he couldn't handle them all. Glory to God. The Lord does a good job. He takes care of us. He does the things that needs to be done. And all he wants us to do is do what he said do. Just simply do what he says do. Okay. Now then. So he's saying we need to love our family less than we do the Lord. We're talking about being a disciple. A lot of folks don't do this. I mean, they put their family first. And we want to, we need to be right to our family. You know, for example, let me use my own life. You know, my wife knows that she is second place. Now, not to some other woman, I don't get into it. But she's second place. Because she knows that I'm going to put the Lord first. And that's been a blessing. You know, I've been pastoring for 47 years, been pastor of six churches. You know what? My wife has never given me any advice. Anytime that when I come time to resign a church, she backs off, keeps quiet, and she prays for me. I find God's will, and then the church calls me, and I accept it, and she won't say one word, yea or nay. Now, you know what that means, either yes or no, or against. She just keeps her mouth shut. Stays in the background. But you know what she's told me? She said, Tom, I have learned that I can trust you because I don't claim to be perfect, but I do try to find God's will. In all my 47 years, you know something? If I had to go back and relive my life, I'd have to take the churches that I took, and I'd have to resign when I did because I felt that's what God wanted. And I had never been sorry one time that I did what I did. If you do what you need to do, God will take care. Like I said, I don't claim to be perfect and I don't misunderstand me. I'm just telling you that we can know God's will. If you want, hey, listen, do you want to know God's will? Just ask Him. If you want to know God's will, if you'll ask Him, and I know that all of you are not preachers. God calls a few men, no women. Somebody said, I know a woman can preach. Well, anyway, the Bible says she can't. That's enough said. Amen. And thank God for women. I mean, and women are precious. For you know, my mother, I had a good mother. Some ladies here, this Sister Alls was talking to me the other night about my mother. I thank God for my mother. But anyway, you know, she wasn't perfect, but she was a good mother. And I loved her. And she stayed in her place. She played the piano. Every time I go visit Sister Garner over in Paducah, Kentucky, I go there, try to go regularly. And she just loves us with all of her heart. That's Brother Tilton Garner's widow. Every time I go, she goes talking about mother and how faithful mother was by playing the piano. I remember one time I don't remember that. I wasn't there. Jim told me and mother told me about it. But anyway, mother and dad and Jim and Donna went to Southside when Brother Garner was pastor and it was on Wednesday night and the song leader wasn't there. Pianist wasn't there. So Brother Garner came over and said, Sister Fortin, would you play the piano? And my mother said, oh, Brother Garner. She said, I don't feel worthy. She said, you had such a good pianist. He said, we're not putting on a show, Miss Sister Fortin. We're serving God. And boy, she got up, went to that piano stool, sat down, and played the best she could. Amen. Not putting on a show. We're not trying to demonstrate our ability. We're just serving the Lord. He needs a piano player. Okay. But anyway, she's always faithful. I remember when I was a kid, she used to play that old pump organ. I'm deep again, young folks. Hang on. She used to play that old pump organ. And I mean, I've seen her play. And back then we had long invitations. You remember that? Long invitations. But anyway, and so she just pumped that organ until she'd nearly fall off of the stool. But listen to what I'm talking about. I love my mother. Love women. My wife, I love her. But listen, they have their place. And all the years of I was home, I never saw my mother get out of place. All the time I've had my wife for over 51 years, I've never seen her get out of place. She's always there to do what she can, but she has a place. And she knows it and she likes it. I like my place too. And by the way, I'm proud to be a man, amen. And she's proud to be a woman. Thank God. You know, God made Adam and Eve, but not Adam and Steve. Listen, somebody said, well, that's silly. Not silly either. The world's one silly. They're trying to cram homosexuality down our throat today, and I'm sick of it. They're queers, amen. I get off of that. But anyway, you know it, and I know it. But then the point is, you see, this is serious. I know I'm an old-timer, but that's okay. I'm proud of it. Now then, I've got to quit. I'm supposed to quit 12. If I am, I'm overtime already. I'm having a good time. Bear with me, okay? Now then, so you see, we're talking about the cost. There's the cost of bearing our cross. You see, we must bear our cross. Look at verse number 27. I'm trying to hurry to close now. And I'm trying to find that caboose that's out there somewhere. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be now my disciple. That's pretty strict. That's pretty plain. All right. Anyone that's not willing to bear his cross cannot be his disciple. Okay, so we just need to, listen, we just need to be faithful to God. That's not too much. Just like being a husband. I hadn't had any problem being faithful to my wife. Why? Because I loved her. Same way with the Lord. I hadn't had any trouble being faithful to God. Just simply, you know, we just need to give the Lord our time and our talent and our treasure. I'm going to get into that. I don't have to tell you, you know all that. I'm just reminding you. But you, that's a blessing as we think about these truths. Now, we're talking about the cost. Cost of putting our faith and trust in the Lord. We're coming to a close this morning. You know, the Bible tells us that we're saved by trusting the Lord. Turn to your Bible. And I'm going to try I'm not going to promise, but I think that'll be my last scripture reading in the book of Ephesians. Because I don't want to lie. I try to be careful about lying. But anyway, In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Notice, who first trusted in Christ. I'm talking about being saved. It's been put here this morning beautifully. It's been put in other times. And indeed, even this morning was put in a very good position. Okay, now, so the work's been done. I've been preaching here now for some time. Biggest part of my message this morning was about preaching about the Redeemer. And I meant to. That was a burden of my heart. The cost of our redemption. Okay, now, look at verse 13. In whom ye also trusted. There it is, trusted. When? After that you heard the word of truth. What is it? The gospel. Been preaching all week about the gospel. Your pastor preaches it all the time. The gospel is the death of Christ, the burial of Christ, the resurrection of Christ. How, Paul said, how that Christ died according to the scriptures. How that He was buried. And how that He was rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That means just like God said it. That's what He means. Okay, now, so He's saying now, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And Brother Reynolds gave us a good example last night of trusting. And that's the way it works. You've got to trust. Trust. The work's done. Jesus did the work. He finished it. That's one of the sayings of the cross. He said, it is finished. The work was finished. The sacrifice was finished. There'll be no more sacrifice. That's all of it. Somebody said, oh, you can lose your salvation and get saved again. Oh, can you? The Bible says you can't. My Bible tells me that if anyone ever loses their salvation, or in other words, if anyone ever becomes unsaved, the only way to get them saved again is bring Christ back, make him live the perfect life again, die on the cross, be buried, arise again, and he's not going to do it. He did it according to Hebrews 10 once and for all.
Amen.
Glory to God. Woo! He did it once for all. He's not going to do it again. So it's all done. All you need to do is accept it. That's what Jesus said in, look in John chapter 1. John said he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. We don't have the power to become a son of God. Just got to believe. Just got to accept what's been done. Just accept the work that Jesus did. He did it. And he did it for me. He did it for you. And all you got to do is accept it. I realize that God has to bring us to that place. You know all that. He got to bring us to that place. You know, you don't just decide, you know, I disagree with these evil beliefism. You know, you don't just decide in your mind. More to it than that. Holy Spirit must work in your heart and trouble you. Like I told you before, I know what it means to be convicted. That's a terrible thing. But anyway, I'm fixing to shut up now. But tonight, today, are you saved? I've been talking about the price of redemption. Did it for you? Have you accepted it? I have. And I'm happy about it. Amen. I love my salvation. I enjoy my ministry. I enjoy living for God. I'm not saying everything goes well. I'm not saying everything goes like I want it to go. But it goes like God gives it to me, and I try to accept it. Now the point is, do you know Him? This is serious, folks. I'm proud to be here. I'm proud God gave me the opportunity to be here. If I hadn't preached anything this week, I'm proud to be here this morning. Been magnifying my Jesus. That's what I've tried to do in all my preaching, magnify Jesus. Because it's because of Him we have it all. Because of Him I'm saved. Because of Him I can live for Him. Because of Him, I'm preaching. Because of Him, I'm part of His church. Thank God for the church. Anyway, we'll have more to say about that this afternoon. And so, I'm like Paul Harvey, and I come back this afternoon and I give the rest of the story. Oh, today, do you know Jesus? We want the sonny to come and the pianist to come. This is a solemn time. A serious time. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? We hear about these wrecks. It's been mentioned here every night about the wreck here in your vicinity. My wife told me this morning they had one similar to that around Jackson on I-40. Just yesterday, I believe. For some reason, a car went across the median and hit a semi head on. And the driver of the car is dead. But the point is, listen folks, the thing that comes in your mind, I wonder where they went. I want you to know when they drew their last breath, whether it's here, and you know, it hurts me. I didn't know these people here, and probably don't know the one in Tennessee. But it hurts to know that somebody has lost a loved one. Somebody has probably lost a child. Somebody's lost a daddy or a mother. But the point is, where did they go? I want you to know when their life left them, according to Ecclesiastes, they went to their long home. They're either in heaven or they're in hell. And where would you be today if you were to die before you get home? Where would you go? Well, I know where I'm going. Lord willing, I'll probably be leaving here this afternoon. I can't go to Brother Cecil lets me out. But anyway, I'm going to go home. And I don't want to have a wreck, but I could. And you could hear that Tom Fortner didn't make it home. But I can tell you one thing, he didn't get home. Woo! If I don't get to Tennessee, I'm going to heaven. Listen, folks, this is exciting. This thrills my heart. Do you know that? If not, would you trust Jesus today? While we stand, while we sing?
verse 72.
Let God have his way with you.